Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' name that we come on this new day that you have made, Father, with an attitude of gratitude and praise and thanksgiving to your holy and to your righteous name. Father God, as we come, we confess every sin of omission and every sin of commission. And we thank you and we bless you and we praise you, Father God, for your love and your kindness towards us. Father God, as we rise today, we embrace the gifts of a brand new day. We thank you for it, Father, and we ask that you will squash every satanic agenda, plot, plan, scheme, ploy, and contract that Satan has set up to come against us, Father, as we stand, Father God, by your grace and your mercies. Father God, we thank you for the word of God that will never return into us void, but will always accomplish everything that you send it forth to do. Father God, anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father God, help us to see with our eyes, hear with our ears. Father God, receive it in our spirits and obey you from the heart. And we bless you and we thank you and we praise you for this and for everything. Now, Father God, as you taught your disciples to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Top of the morning to you. Welcome back to the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Mentoring Kingdom Leadership, where Jesus Christ is King and Jesus Christ is Lord. As we are rejoicing in this another day that the Lord God, he has made, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. God's name is great, 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 great. And great, 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 greatly to be praised. I'm Apostle Dr. Alfreda. It is my pleasure to serve the Lord in his kingdom. Amen. We want to welcome all of our first-time listeners around the globe. Thank you for being here. You have indeed come to the right place at the right time. Have a seat at the table. Enjoy the meal. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We want you to know that all of our services are archived at blogtalkradio.com/kingdomleadership. And we're just a ministry that loves the Lord, loves his work, where God chases. Amen. And we know what the end is going to be. Amen. Glory be to God. And as my grandmother would say, amen, we are running for our lives. We are running for our lives. Amen and amen. We want to turn your attention this morning to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 15. We're still in the season of Lent, and we are talking about sacrifices, sacrifices acceptable, and sacrifices not acceptable. Amen unto the Lord. Amen. So if our sacrifice is not acceptable, then it's not acceptable. Glory be to God. All right, let us look in verse number 1 in our Bibles. If you're new to our ministry, we always encourage you to come with your notebooks and come with your pencils and your pads and take some notes, because you're in school. You're in school. Amen. Glory be to God. Why? Because we're being taught. We're being taught the word of God. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. You ought to be coachable, teachable. Amen. So we preach to the unsaved. Amen. And then we teach those who are saved. So we don't know where you are. So we do a little bit of both on this ministry. Amen. Verse number one says this. One day Samuel said to Saul, "It was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people Israel." Now, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. "I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys." So Saul mobilized his army. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. Then Saul and his army went to a town of the Amalekites and laid in wait in the valley. Saul sent this warning to the Kenites: "Move away from where the Amalekites live, or you will die with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Canaanites packed up and left. Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites. He captured Agag, the king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. Verse 10, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command.' Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Then he went on to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. 'May the Lord bless you,' he said. 'I have carried out the Lord's command.' 'Then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear?' Samuel demanded. 'It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle,' Saul admitted. 'But they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else.' Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night.' 'What did he tell you?' Saul asked. And Samuel told him, 'Although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they all be dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush out? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight?' 'But I did obey the Lord,' Saul insisted. 'I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, in Gilgal.' But Samuel replied, 'What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?' Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Ooh. And submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Woo, my God. And this is the blessed word of God. Amen. For the blessed people of God. I want to talk to you for a couple minutes this morning, beloved, from a subject, no excuses allowed. And I have a sub-theme, don't allow other people to let you miss heaven and go to hell. Don't you allow other people to send you to hell, because hell is for eternity. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart is acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Beloved, glory be to God as we are thanking God for the season of Lent. We want to thank God for the sacrifice that Jesus made. We want to thank God, amen, for the celebration that we're leading up to, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord in Jesus Christ. We want to thank God for all of this. Amen. We want to thank God for the sacrifices, amen, that we make unto him. And beloved, I come to tell you today that every sacrifice is not acceptable unto God. Every sacrifice that is not acceptable. God doesn't take anything we give him. He don't take the crumbs. He don't accept everything. He's not like some people. Even some of you have pets, and you know even your pets don't receive everything you give them. They sniff that food. They say, I ain't eating it. See? And so, beloved, in our scripture this morning, God gave Saul instructions. He told Saul exactly. Sometimes, beloved, we're not sure. You know, we say we're not sure what the Lord would have us to do in certain situations. Glory be to God. We focus too much on that. We focus on the areas of our life where we are not clear, instead of being clear on what is clear. You can go to the word and read that thus and thus and thus. We ignore that, see, and we want to focus on what is not clear, see. So if the Lord says, amen, glory be to God, to be obedient, if the Lord says love, if the Lord says give, if the Lord says pray, see, why don't we just start with what we know? Saul didn't have any ambiguity in his instructions. God was very plain and told Saul what he wanted Saul to do. Saul was partially obedient. He didn't do all that God told him to do. Not only did God tell him what to do, God told him why he wanted to do it. So God went an extra step with Saul, because we know a lot of times God don't give us the why when he gives us an instruction, because he's not obligated, because he is God. The same way your mama ain't always tell you why they wanted you to do something. Your parents would just say, hey, Alfreda, do this, do that. They weren't obligated to always give us a why, and neither is God. Saul did what he wanted to do, and then he blamed it on the people. Saul said, the people that you gave me, they thought it was a good idea to keep the most of the sheep. And the best of the stuff. And, you know, so we can keep the best of the stuff. And, you know, and well, we sacrificed everything else. We sacrificed. We kept the king and we kept the best of the sheep, because the people thought it was a good idea. But God asked Saul, but what did I tell you? Ah, Woo, taking y'all all the way back. Amen. Y'all can hear y'all mama talking right now, can't you? You can hear your daddy talking right now, can't you? But what did I tell you? I don't want to hear nothing about what your boyfriend did, your husband did, huh? Your mama did. I said, what did I tell you? Beloved, don't let nobody else send you to hell. Glory be to God. Same thing happened to Adam. God gave Adam instructions. All right, Adam, all these trees yours, boy, boy, knock yourself out. But you see that tree right there? That's the only one you're not allowed to touch. Yeah, have free course with everything else. Huh? God came back to Adam in Genesis chapter number 3. Asked Adam a couple questions. And in verse 12, this is what Adam said. Adam said, but the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it. God said, but Adam, what did I tell you? Then in the next verse, verse number 13, glory be to God, Eve gives an excuse. Eve said, glory be to God, that then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And Eve replied, the serpent deceived me, she replied, and I ate. God said, but what did I tell you? We see it, beloved, in the book of Exodus with Aaron. Moses up there spending time with God and getting the commandments, and Aaron was down there, was supposed to be, you know, in charge of the people. Glory be to God. And God had already given instructions not to make any idols, no gold images. Moses come down from the mount and they partying and having a good time. So they thought. Made their gold images, the whole bit. And what did when God, amen, approached Aaron in Exodus 32:22, Aaron replied, do not be enraged, my Lord. You yourself know that the people are intent on evil. God said, but what did I tell you? But what did I tell you? And in the very next verse, verse number 23, he says, they told me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. God said, but what did I tell you? In our scripture today, verse number 9 says, Saul and his troops spared Agag along with the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, and the best of everything else. They were unwilling to destroy them, but they devoted to destruction all that was despised and worthless. Verse number 16 says this, exclaimed Samuel, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Verse number 21, the troops took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of the things devoted to destruction, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But what did I tell you? God didn't want to hear nothing about what the people did. God don't want to hear nothing about what your boss did, what your neighbor did, how they influenced you to sin, how they influenced you to disobey.
Everybody else fornicating, I might as well fornicate too. Everybody else telling a little lie, I might as well lie too. Everybody else partying, I might as well party too. Ain't nobody else doing the right thing with their money, I might as well. Hey. God said, well, what did I tell you? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Beloved, partial obedience is this. Obedience. Saul was, the kingdom was ripped from Saul. Because of him allowing other people to move him in a direction that was opposite to where God was leading. But let me hit the truth of the matter right now. We're going to hit it and quit it right now. You want to know why Saul really got in trouble? You want to know why Cain really got in trouble? You want to know why Adam and Eve really got in trouble? You want to know why Aaron and them got in trouble? Because the people didn't make them do nothing. They used that as an excuse. You want to know the reason they sinned? Because it was already in their heart. Beloved, can't nobody make you sin? Can't nobody make you go against what God is telling you to do? The reason you did it is because, glory be to God, you wanted to do it. Sin was already in your heart. Let me show you a scripture here. See, let me tell you something. When God allows trials and tribulations to come in our life, see, he allows it. God allows temptations to come in our life because it says yield not to temptation. Amen. Yielding, the temptation is not a sin. The yielding to the temptation is a sin. You want to know why God allowed that? So you can see and confess what's in your heart. God already know you got a heart issue. God already know you got a heart problem. But see, you so holy and sanctified, and you so spiritual, you think everybody else got sin, and you ain't got no sin. You think it's everybody else's problem, but you ain't got no problem until God allow certain situations to come in your life, and then you wonder, how did I get here? You was there all the time. Let me tell you something. If Saul meant right with God, I don't care what those people said, Saul would not have allowed it. I say, when you really love God, I don't care if it's your mama, glory be your daddy. I don't care if it's your children. I don't care if it's your spouse. You're not going to allow nobody else to cause you to sin and go down and do what God didn't want you to do. You did it because it was in your heart. That's why you did it. Glory be to God. All right, let me show you the scripture. St. John, chapter number 14. Look in. Give me 1 second. Let me find. St. John chapter number 14. Go down. Go down to verse 30. I don't have much more time to talk to you. This is Jesus speaking here. Because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me. But I will do what the Father requires so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. Let me read that in the King James. Verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Satan couldn't find nothing in Jesus. He couldn't find nothing in Jesus. He couldn't find lust in Jesus. He couldn't find disobedience in Jesus. He couldn't find anger in Jesus. He couldn't find it. You want to know what the devil is doing? The devil is walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. When the devil looks at you and he sees what's in your heart, he sees that anger in your heart. He sees that lust in your heart. He sees that disobedience in your heart. He coming for it. Because that's his legal way in. If he got to use somebody else, he'll use somebody else. He don't care who he got to use. Glory be God. He just wants to get you off track. He wants to get you over here on the other side. He wants to get you on his side, not on the Lord's side. Jesus said the devil couldn't find nothing in me. But let me ask you a question this morning. Can the devil find in you? What can the devil find in you? And we know that we have these weaknesses. We know we have these issues. And then we refuse to repent. We refuse to take it before. Oh, because God understands. I'm just human. Baloney. Baloney. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, somebody got to tell it. Somebody got to tell it. Ain't going to be no blood on my hands. You gonna bust hell wide open. Sitting in a church. Sometimes the first person in the church. The supreme prayer warrior. You going to bust hell wide open. Acting like hell ain't real. And when you see Jesus, Jesus don't want to hear nothing about what your neighbor was doing and when they said it was okay and the heck to the no. God didn't take them phony excuses from Saul. He didn't take it from Adam and Eve. He threw them out the goddamn garden. And how you think you gonna make it? He threw Satan out of heaven. Satan was already in heaven and got evicted. And you playing around. He ain't want to hear it. You can search your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Not one scripture will you find that gives us excuses. God does not give us an excuse, beloved, because there's no reason to have an excuse because we have the blood, the atoning blood of Jesus. And if we just come and submit ourselves to him and allow God to deliver us and to break the chains and open the prison doors and to deliver us and give us a clean heart. You ain't gonna do it. Some of you right now, okay? You go and give me the cigarette factory, Marlboros or whatever the cigarettes are. You ain't gonna smoke it. Why? Because you don't smoke. But we giving you all. We giving you the factory. I don't care. I don't smoke. You give you all the liquor in the world. No, you don't want it. Why? Because you don't drink. I don't care what you do. I don't drink. You can send all the young fine men down the avenue I'm talking about, built Glory be to God. You ain't interested. Glory be to God right now. Glory be to God. Why? Because you know what they're coming for, and you don't have sex before marriage. So there's certain things in our lives, no matter how much we attempt it, we ain't going to yield. No matter what everybody else is doing. But let me ask you a question as I close this morning. You know what you won't do, but what will you do? Because guess what? The devil already knows. Why? Because the devil can see in the spirit. He already knows. And so, beloved, glory be to God, hallelujah, we are told to come, amen, bring, amen, our Brother Paul says, when we are weak, then are we strong. The issues that we're struggling with, bring them to the altar. Lay them at the altar. Ask God for help, glory, to crucify our flesh. Glory be to God and help us to line up in obedience to him. So that we can be fully persuaded that God is on our side. You know, sometimes, and I've been there in the past when you around a certain environment, but you don't really want to be there. You don't really want to be there. You just there because somebody said, come on, let's go, let's go. You know, but you don't really want, you feel so out of place. But why are you here? I'm here because so-and-so said be here. Peter said this. Peter said, we rather obey God than man. Beloved, every sacrifice is not acceptable unto the Lord. Give God what he wants and give it to him in the right spirit. He said, if you be willing and obedient, Isaiah 1:19. If ye be willing and obedient, then ye shall eat the good of the land. In my closing, true story, my mother was counseling this young lady a couple of years ago, and she knew that she wasn't doing the right thing. She knew that she was doing what her girlfriends was doing and what everybody else was doing, what her neighbors was doing and classmates was doing. So my mother had a chance to talk to her. She said, well, true story. She said, well, if I go to hell, at least all my friends will be there. At least all my friends will be there. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? True story. And my mother had an opportunity to minister to this young lady and said, but let me tell you something. Your friends may be there, and they probably will, as long as they're your friends. But let me tell you, she said, you're not going to be able to enjoy them. You're not going to be able to enjoy them in hell. So everybody's going to be hollering and screaming how to get out. Everybody going to be hollering and screaming, and there's no way out, because once you in, there's no exit plan. Matter of fact, you're going to be mad at some people, glory be to God, for leading you there, but they didn't lead you there. You there because you want to be there. I come with some good news on this morning. Beloved, that you can get out of your situation immediately. You can get out of your situation immediately. You have to separate yourself from some people, because the truth of the matter is it ain't their problem, it's your problem. I was counseling a young lady, and she was having sex before marriage. She was committing fornication, and we had a long talk, and she said, well, I just do it to keep him happy. I just do it so he don't run around and see other women. I said, well, baby, that's his problem. That ain't yours. Why are you going to allow him to send you to hell? Because unless you repent and he repent, and if you take your last breath, amen, without repenting, that's where you're going. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unholy, let him be unholy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whichever way you leave this life, when you take your last breath, whatever is in your heart is what goes into eternity. I said, why are you going to allow him to send you to hell? And do you know her whole life changed? To God be the glory. Last I spoke to her, her whole life changed. When she surrendered completely over to the Lord. Matter of fact, I think she's married now or getting ready for marriage. Because she waited and did it God's way. No excuses allowed. Cheating on your income tax. No excuses allowed. Everybody else is doing it. No excuses allowed. Everybody else getting abortions. No excuses allowed. Don't allow people to let you miss heaven and go to hell, because hell is for eternity. If you have never received Jesus Christ in your life and the pardoning of your sins, never, ever, ever. Okay, never ever. I want to talk to two groups of people today. First group of people I want to talk to is those who have never received Jesus. All right. Now, this flat out, let me tell you, if you stop playing, if you take your last breath and you have not received Jesus in your heart, you're going to hell. Why are you talking so much about hell? Because Jesus did. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. You don't believe me? Pick up your Bible and do some research. Why did Jesus do that? Because it's a gruesome place and he didn't want nobody to go there. Matter of fact, hell was not even made for people. It was made for Satan and his angels. It's a gruesome place and it's ugly. And it ain't even worth it. I don't care what you got going on. It ain't even worth it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If a man will believe in his heart and confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, he shall be saved. Ask God to save you. We ain't got to go through no whole bunch of rhetoric and conversations and write a thesis and write a chapter in a book. Just ask God to save you. Ask God to forgive you for your sins and to save you and accept Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior. It's the greatest miracle on planet Earth, the quickest miracle. You're snatched out of Satan's kingdom, adopted into the Lord's kingdom. Do that right now and let the angels rejoice, and then we're going to rejoice with you. Now, once you give your life to Christ, glory be to God, that is not the end, it's the beginning. And so we have a lot of people that say they gave their life to Christ, but they're not following him. That's because they're following other people. They ain't following God. The Lord ain't their shepherd. They following people like Saul. See, glory be. If you are a Christian and you sure you're a Christian and you're practicing sin, Come on. Let's get it right now. God said he's married to the backslider. Come on. Let me tell you something. We don't know who's next. We had about 3 or 4 people die in this ministry over the years. We don't know who next. Well, you best believe somebody next. Okay. Write the scripture down. Write the scripture down. Meditate on it today. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Let me read that again. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. If you are born again believer and you're practicing sin, you're doing it because you want to do it, not because nobody made you do it, including the devil. The devil ain't made you do it. Cotton picking sin. If you, otherwise, you just made God a liar. God said a born again, a true born again believer cannot practice sin. So if you practicing sin, now I'm talking to the second group of people now. Those of you that say you saved, but you practicing sin, come on back to the altar and let's get saved for real. Come on back to the altar this morning and let's get saved for real. The Lord says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, forgive me for being carnal, for being fleshly, for following the crowd, for being conformed to the systems of this world instead of transformed in the renewing of my mind. Forgive me, Father, and I ask that you would help me to submit myself and yield, Father, in obedience to your word in the spirit. Father, help me to walk in the spirit so that I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father, because partial obedience is disobedience, and every sacrifice is not acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, I thank you, and in Jesus' name, I pray. There it is, there it is, there it is. And to God be all the praise, the glory, and all the honor. Amen. For those of you out in radio land, amen, and need to be around some praying people, amen, maybe you have a prayer request, maybe, amen, you have a situation, call in to our prayer altar. We meet at the prayer altar Monday through Fridays, two times a day at 12 o'clock noon and back at 9 p.m. We love to have visitors on our line. Matter of fact, in as much as we acknowledge you first, we acknowledge our visitors before we even collect our prayer requests. And sometimes we need to hold our hands up. He told us to bear ye one another's burdens. So call in to our prayer altar. Amen. The telephone number is 385-799-9729. 385-799-9729. If I said it too quick, just go to our website at lifewordjesus.org and get the information right there. Amen. And we will love to have you. Amen. Amen and amen. That is it for today, beloved. That is it. As we continue in our Lent season, every day is Lent. Y'all know me. Every day is a spirit of Christmas. Every day is a spirit of Thanksgiving. Every day is a spirit of Lent. Every day, glory be to God. Every day, amen, our hearts should be renewed day by day. We shouldn't be the same place we was yesterday, last week, last month. We should see some type of progress in our lives, beloved. Amen. And amen. Father God, we thank you for this service on today. We thank you, God. Oh, God, we are so godly sorry. We are so godly sorry, Father, where we've messed up. Oh, Father God, we ask that you would forgive us and help us to forgive ourselves as we continue to move forward, Father God, in truth and love and faith and in obedience, Father. Giving you sacrifices that are acceptable and obedience from our hearts. Thank you, God. Thank you. Father God, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time today. We cancel bad news, tears, and sorrow. We seal this prayer by the word, by the blood, by the spirit. We cast it at the feet of Jesus to decree and declare and declare and decree that Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled, and Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Amen, amen, and amen. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Pastor Alfreda, Philadelphia, signing out. Everybody have a wonderful, 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 wonderful day. Amen and amen and amen.
Lord.